It is certainly great to see you this morning. Thank you, church, for being here today. We do have a lot of sickness going on here at Azalea City. There are folks that have had the flu. There are folks that have had mono. There are folks that have had sinus infections, bronchitis, a lot of sickness going around. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're well. There are also those who are out of town. So if you're visiting with us, I want you to know that we do want you to come back. We want you to be a part of us. We also want you to know that, again, we will usually have more that are able to be here with us as well. But I do want to say that today, as we're here, I have some good news to tell you. I like good news. I like ending the year with good news, right? We have a couple among us that are expecting a child. This is a good news. It's hey, you always grow if people keep having children, right? This is their second child, so I may just narrow it down a little bit. I am very happy to announce this family's dealt with some tough news this year. So to end the year with good news is very special. Emily and Terry Hall and Hazley will be the big sister. Congratulations to you guys. Please be praying for Emily. Please be praying. Again, they needed some good news. That way, that pew looks good back there. Again, it's not the same. But Duffy, you're in a good spot, brother. And you got a sweet little baby there with you as well. But Emily, Terry, we're going to be praying for you guys. And Hazley, you're going to do a great job being the big sister. We'll see. Hazley, you're still the only one who's ever cried when I brought you up here. Okay? So we're going to see if little brother or little sister will do that too. So Hazley and I are really good buddies today, though. You know, this is the time of year that I really do a lot of reflecting. And today's sermon, all my sermons come from my heart, I want you to know. But today is about as heartfelt as I can be. You know, 2 years ago, our theme was more. This year, our theme was renew. I think those are great themes. By the way, we have a brand new theme. And our elders are going to present that. Specifically, George is going to present that to us next week. He's going to debut that. He's going to challenge us. He's going to talk to us about our budget. There are a lot of things he's going to give us a State of the Union on, but he's going to challenge us as well from the eldership. And so be praying for my brother George, and be praying about next Sunday. Next Sunday should be a big Sunday, right? People should be back in town. First Sunday of the year, we want to do things the right way. But as I get back to talking to you about themes, you know, sometimes we can take things on. Sometimes we can fill our lives up. Sometimes we can get so busy, so many things going on that maybe we can't balance everything, right? So something begins to lack. Is that right? Do you see that in your life? I know I see it in my life. You know, I try to do a lot of things. And by the way, I've taken some of those things that have come off my plate. One of them, school. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers in that. I will not pursue my PhD, so don't ever ask me about it. But I'm thankful to be done with that. I'm thankful for your patience. And by the way, you need somebody to talk to, I'm here for you. Justin is here for you. And we both have worked and studied in counseling and from a Christian's perspective. And so, but I say that to say sometimes we get so distracted that something lacks. Well, I might see that lacks in maybe my yard work, or maybe it lacks in our housework, or maybe it lacks in whatever. But sometimes it lacks in our church attendance. Sometimes we put God on that back burner. You know what I mean by that? The front burner is dangerous or whatever. Maybe it gets hot quick. We put him on that back burner where we got time. We put it off. You know, maybe we'll heat up later, right? But folks, I want you to know I cannot from my heart close out this year without talking about next year. Okay, next year is right around the corner. 2020 is right around the corner. We've talked about renew all year. I hope some of you have been renewed. You know, there have been times when I've stepped back and I've tried to renew myself. But I want you to think about, are we growing at Azalea City Church of Christ? You see, because that's what it's about. December's been a bad month. And I want you to know, just from my heart, okay, it bothers me when we don't have people here. It does. It bothers me when we are not where we need to be. Our December attendance has bottomed. I mean, it has gone down. Now, there's a lot of things that go into that. But I think somewhere along the way, there needs to be some renewal. I think we need to be conscious of it. Maybe it needs to bother all of us, right? Well, again, I'm not talking about those who may be out of town, those who may be sick. I'm talking about those who may have slipped off. Those who may only come occasionally now. There's got to be something going on, right? Maybe they've gotten too many things on their plate. But we've got to do our part. And so today's lesson is about getting back to the basics. It's about looking at what really matters when it comes to church growth. I want you to know, again, that there may be some things in here that are hard to say. There may be some things in here that are hard to hear. But I think this is going to be a back to the basics as we can get. And I want you to know this is on my heart. It's on my heart because as the minister of this church, again, I'm not charged with church attendance. Please hear me out on that. God charges the elders with that, right? He charges. Now, I take it serious and I take it personal sometimes, probably too personal. But I'm charged with motivating us. I'm charged with encouraging us. I'm charged with teaching the truth in love. Now, I'm going to try to encourage and I'm going to try to love and I'm going to try to check on just like you. But the bottom line is we've got to all do our part. And so that's what today's about. Renewing a spirit in us. Renewing a fire in us to understand and appreciate renewed church growth. In Joshua 1 verse 11, Joshua had a big task, didn't he? He had to take some knuckleheads, if you will. Moses, the leader of all leaders, has passed away. And Joshua's task is to finally lead them across the Jordan River into the promised land. A bunch of complainers. A bunch of people that watch people die for complaining in the wilderness. And so this is a big task. But here's what his purpose was. Joshua 1 verse 11. Pass through the camp. And command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. His mission was clear. In 3 days, you're crossing the Jordan River. Get yourself ready. Now, suppose the doctor walked in today and he said, hey, you got 3 days to live. Now, that's tragic news. We don't want to hear that. But would we take things pretty serious at that point? Or even if he said 3 weeks to live? If we had our full body about us, if we had our full mind about us, or if we were ready to or able to think and do for ourselves, you know what we'd do? We'd get things in order. I bet the first thing we'd do is not miss Sunday if we could be there. I bet we'd get in the book. I bet we'd get in the prayer life. Why? Because hell's real and real people go there. And we don't want to talk about hell. Sometimes by the terror of the Lord, we got to persuade men, according to what Paul said. You see, if we were told, hey, you just got 3 days, you got 3 weeks, whatever the number is, get yourself ready. We take it pretty serious. Joshua, you got 3 days. Get them ready. They're going across the Jordan. That mission's clear. What about Gideon? In Judges chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. Then the Lord turned to him, that's Gideon, and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. There's your mission. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. You see, whatever God is in charge of, it's going to be victorious. You see, when God's in charge and God is in charge, great things are going to happen. So He can take you and He can take me and He can do great things. That's why numbers are important to God. He can save by many or by few. But we need God. You can't accomplish things in your life, and I can't accomplish things in my life and be real successful with them if we don't have God. And that's why we need God. That's why this purpose is so important. So today what it really boils down to is this. We must have a purpose. Joshua had a purpose. Gideon had a purpose. Jesus had a purpose. Paul had a purpose. The apostles had a purpose. We must have purpose. Why are you here? Why are you here? I want you to ask yourself that question. And I'm not talking about necessarily here, but we'll get to that. I'm not talking about in this room. Why are you on earth? You're put here for a reason. By the way, you hear mamas and daddies say, and I get it, okay? This one was the accident. Nobody's an accident. I get that. I get why people say that, right? But nobody's an accident. God puts you here for a reason. Now, some people take their purpose in life and they do what they want to with it. But see, God puts you here for a purpose. The number one purpose we're here to do is to bring glory and honor to God. It's not to be CEOs. It's not to be entertainers. It's not to be Hall of Famers. It's not to be make as much money as we can. It's not to be dad of the year, even though all those things in themselves are not necessarily bad. What we are here for is to serve and praise God. Now, some people have lost that purpose. Why are we not where we need to be spiritually? Why were we not where we need to be attendance-wise? Why are we not where we need to be as a church? Because some have lost their purpose. And we've put it about us instead of about Him. And that's serious, serious business. That's why church growth's got to matter to us. That's why this must be important. The American Railroad, when they were going through their bankruptcy, okay, here's what happened. They thought they were in the railroad business, okay? They got together and the railroads were great, right? That was the way to travel. Hey, if I'm going to go anywhere, I still got to go by train because Michelle's not ready to fly. Okay? But that was the way to travel, right? And the railroad provided plenty of work. And I know people still work for the railroad, but it's not what it used to be. They thought, hey, we're in the railroad business. What they failed to understand is they were really in the transportation business. They lost sight of their big purpose. And it became narrow. When our big purpose becomes narrow, think about raising children. Think about Justin and Ashley. By the way, we've got these great, great folks working with our youth here, okay? Great men, great women, great man, great woman. They've got a team of people, and I love them dearly, and I'm so blessed to have them. But they can't do it without the parents. They can't. They can't. They cannot. You will not let them go to your home at 8:30 or 8 o'clock, get them, throw them in the shower, make them brush their teeth, get them out of bed, do all those things, and drag them here to church. You won't let them do that. You'll arrest them. So they need you. Okay? So when our teens struggle, and they will struggle, raise your hand if you didn't struggle as a teen. Okay, if you didn't, I'd like to talk to you because you got it figured out. When our teens struggle and things go awry, don't blame Ashley and Justin. Blame the person in the mirror. Okay? You see, it's about big picture. It's about God gave you 18 years to do everything you can to get your children ready to go to heaven. It's not their responsibility. I'm glad we got them. And I'm glad he and I work together. And I'm glad we're friends. But it's not his responsibility. You see, we've got to understand our purpose. Let me tell you something. The railroad was a big industry. It was a big enterprise. But nothing's bigger than the church. Nothing. The church is the greatest of all enterprises. You see, there are a great number of reasons why we need to be blowing the doors out here at Azalea City. A great number of reasons. The greatest of those is because the church is that critical. Jesus Christ is that awesome. And that ought to sell, right? At the heart of the reason we are compelling people to be here is the fact that the local body of Christ is the greatest of all enterprises. In the book of Acts, the church is referred to as the way. Don't you love that? Paul went and persecuted people that were of the way. Well, what is the way? Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the head. Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. We are the body. We are the church. And that's why it's so important. In Matthew 18, we remember what Bo read to us just a little bit ago. Jesus Christ said, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. That's what was called the Great Commission. And those in the first century were baptized, and they came up, and they were on fire, and they let nothing stand in their way of understanding the purpose for them and their family. But in 2019, we've let a lot of things get in the way. And that's just being real. And keeping it real, so to speak. The passion of the first century church was to build the body in a powerful instrument of outreach, edification, and compassion. Their mission, their purpose was to build the body of Christ into a great instrument of outreach, edification, and compassion. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Paul said it this way, and he put all things under his feet, that's God to Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I don't know if you understand what that verse said. I hope that you do, but let's break it down. Paul said that God, okay, picture God giving this to Jesus. He said, all things are under your feet. So you're over the church. You are the head of the church. The elders are not. The preacher is not. Nobody is. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Okay? He said, and now his body is the fullness of him all in all. Some versions may say completion. Some may say perfection. But here's what I want you to understand. What that verse means is this. Finding peace in life doesn't come from doing as many vacation things as possible. Finding rest in life doesn't mean missing church every Sunday to sleep in. Finding love in life doesn't mean going to and from on Friday nights and Saturday nights so that we're too tired to come on Sunday. Finding good health doesn't mean going and feeling sorry for ourselves and staying away. We find all of that in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That's why we need to be here. That's why this should be our purpose. I hope you understand and feel the urgency to understand our purpose. But in case we don't, I want you to understand this. Our purpose must be very clear. Joshua, 3 days. Gideon, I'm going to lead you to victory. That's very clear. You see, God's not the author of confusion. I don't need confusion, right? I need you to spell it out. I cannot stand instructions that are confusing. In fact, paint me a picture of it. I even do that even better. Show me this is where this part goes and that part goes, and I'm pretty good with it. Well, God's not the author of confusion. He gave us everything we need to know. And it's not outdated. It's timeless. Okay? And so our purpose is still the same purpose as it was in Matthew 28:18-20. It's the same purpose as it was in Acts 1 and 2 and their following. Mark 16, whichever one you want to look at, that was the purpose of the church and it still is. But we've lost that purpose somewhere along the way. Or we've forgotten it. Or it hasn't meant that much to us. And I'm not talking about everybody, but I am talking about some, right? I mean, can we understand and see that? So let me give you five things today that brings it back to reality. Number one is right here. What is our purpose? We're here to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you remember when we were unwrapping the gift of Jesus throughout this month? What did the shepherds hear? They said, "Hey, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I'm bringing you some good news, and this is all about joy. He's wrapped up in a present, in a manger, and His name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah." You see, I am here, charged by the elders, to preach the good news. But so are you, based on God. You see, again, Matthew 28:18-20, it wasn't just to the disciples, it was to all. Go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age. We are in the soul-winning business. Well, that's what we're in. We are in the greatest enterprise in existence today, and that's the church of our Lord, and it's all about winning souls. That's your purpose. So we've got to preach the good news. We've got to tell others our story. We've got to tell people about how God has changed our lives. The Apostle Paul was on trial multiple times. And he didn't defend himself to the point of trying to get himself off trial. He defended himself by telling the story of his salvation. How he came to know Jesus Christ. He did that before judges. He did it before kings. Some even said, "Hey, you are crazy." Felix said that. He said, "Oh, most noble Felix, I assure you, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy. I'm convicted." You see, we're not crazy. In order to understand Jesus, he had to be one of three things, right? He had to be a lunatic. He had to be a liar. Or he had to be Lord. Was Jesus Christ a lunatic? No. Was Jesus Christ a liar? No. Is Jesus Christ Lord? Well, he should be. He should be. He's Lord. And that's who Paul understood. You see, in the book of Acts, it gives us a clear-cut meaning of what the church is all about. It teaches us that the apostles went about preaching. Isn't that what they did? Remember in Acts 2, after they were baptized into Christ, they continued what? In prayer and fellowship, communion, the apostles' doctrine. They went about teaching or preaching, the apostles did, the truth of Jesus Christ. Well, guess what else we learn about around Acts chapter 6? That they made deacons. They didn't call them deacons at that time. They were just people to serve. Okay? But it's where we get the word deacon, servant, right? They went about and they set up and appointed deacons. You know what they did? They went about preaching. Philip and others went about preaching. So apostles did it. Deacons did it. Guess what else? A little bit later on in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. The members went about everywhere preaching the word. Now, we don't have apostles today. We have elders in the church. So what do elders do? Again, it's not hard. He's not the author of confusion. They go about preaching the good news. We do have deacons here today. What are you to do? You're to go about preaching the good news. We also have those who lead ministries here that aren't deacons, don't have a title. Go about preaching the good news. We have Bible class teachers. Go about preaching the good news. We have teenagers. Go about. We have members. It's not hard. That's a purpose. Everywhere we go. Well, Terry, I'm not a preacher. I get it. I get it. I'm not going to go to Walmart and stand up in the aisle and say, okay, everybody, turn and to your Bibles and whatever. But I'm going to live Jesus Christ, right? You're going to live. You're going to tell people about what He's done for you. You're going to be Jesus to others. Found this interesting. In the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, okay, there is a red stone embedded on the floor in that building. As you're going on a tour there, I understand that the guide will tell you that tradition says that that spot where that red stone is the exact spot where Jesus stood when He spoke those marching orders to those disciples and He said, go into all the world, make disciples and preach. Whether it is or not, I don't know. But they have a marking representing where Jesus Christ supposedly stood in that church in Jerusalem of the Holy Sepulchre, and that's the very moment where He gave the Great Commission. A few hundred yards from the Colosseum in Rome. In ancient times, there was a golden post that stood for all to see. It was from this post that all the highways went out to the boundaries of Rome. From that very post, you could reach all the highways of Rome. Remember, Rome was the first to have roads, and that made a big deal in traveling. So this golden post was right there where those roads went out. Okay? It was the center of it all. And on that post was the equivalent to the English phrase, and it simply said, go preach. Today, we're not the Holy Sepulchre Church. We're the church. We're not in Rome, but we're in our Jerusalem. I hope your red stone and your golden post today is the same message. Go preach. Number two. Don't stop learning. If I'm going to have church growth, and it starts with me, and it starts with you. If I'm going to fill these pews up, those pews up, those pews up. If we're going to fill this balcony up, we're going to fill this place up. Then I, myself, cannot ever stop learning. And now let me say this as plain as I can be. In Matthew 28, it says to go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then it says, and teach them. It kind of gives off the impression, right, that we never, ever stop learning. Even after we're walking in the light as He is in the light, we never stop learning, right? Never. In order to do that, we got to be here. We got to be here. And would you agree with that? You know what the best time to learn is? In Sunday school. Bible class, whatever we want to call it today. It really is. My class will tell you that they're getting more out of our Bible class. You know what we're doing together, and I told you this many times? We have a Bible study. We're going through the whole Bible. Right now we're in Leviticus. Merry Christmas to us. We're in the book of Leviticus. Yeah. But we're going through it. Okay, we went through the New Testament already. Now we're going back through the Old Testament. But then we come together and we talk about. Right now we're talking about Exodus 2, providence of God. And we're really growing. And I challenge them to bring back some stories how God's provided in your life. To reflect on yourself. You know, in this class, George is talking about songs and how they impact you and the words and how we ought to praise God each and every day of our lives. I'm not setting that class, but I've heard great things about it. On Wednesday nights, we're studying the book of Matthew and we're taking a real deep dive into it. Y'all know we spent about 4 or 5 weeks on one chapter. We're taking a deep dive into it, but it gives people the opportunity to ask questions we normally wouldn't ask. Where are you going to do that if you're sitting at home or you're in the bed? How are you going to do that? You're not. We've got to be here. Well, I just can't make it, Terry. Well, listen, I'm not judge, okay? I'm not the judge. You don't apologize to me. Take it up with God, and if He understands that, we get it. But I want you to know, no matter what, we can't stop learning. Or we're going to grow a generation of people that will not be able to see church growth. If we quit studying and we quit learning, then we will raise up a family that will not do it either. And eventually the church will get smaller and smaller and smaller. Already, I can tell you this, and I'm not saying this, guys, I feel like I have the most job security in the world. I really do. Unless I just go and royally goof things up. And I hope and pray I won't. But do you know how hard it is to hire a preacher today? Do you know how hard it is to hire a youth minister today? I'm on the board at Fulton University. Bible majors are in the very minority anymore. You just don't find people that are wanting to go and do it because it's hard. It's not an easy job. It's a very discouraging job. It's a hard, I mean, people that I graduated with. Well, I didn't graduate with him. Of all the people I graduated with that were Bible majors, none are in the ministry anymore except me. Is that right, Michelle? Trey Durden was the one I was thinking about, and Trey's a preacher in Florence, Alabama, but Trey was a year before me. He's still a preacher today. It's not easy. And so I say that to say this. What are we going to do if we stop learning? You see, if I wasn't here today, people could stand up and preach and teach. I get that. But what about the generations to come? You see, it's important. I've got to make that my purpose. Number three. I got to stand strong. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It reminds us here that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. No other doctrine should be taught, according to what Paul wrote to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 6. Good doctrine is to be taught and followed. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, we should hold fast to the sound words of the truth. Why? Because of what he said in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I like the way this version put it. I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Paul's telling that to a young minister. Guys, I'm just going to be real blunt. Listen. There's a lot of false teaching that's happening today. Okay? And we've got to be careful. Now, I'm afraid that some have given over to that. Now, I'm not here to judge anybody. You've never heard me call people down from the pulpit. And if you're visiting with us, I never will. But I will tell you, we're going to stand on the Word of God. And we're going to do it in love. But we're going to stand on the truth. Some people, because they quit learning, they've given over to itching ears. They've given over to what they want to hear, what makes them feel good. And that's a danger today. Hey, you could probably fill this place up if we just said anything goes. But that's not why we're here. We're here because we're the church. We're here because we're trying to grow the kingdom. And we've got to do that by standing strong. In 1 Corinthians 15, which is the resurrection chapter of the Bible, right? Paul talks about there that we need to stand strong. We need to stand firm and always abound in the work of the Lord. That's our mission. That's our purpose. Number four, if we're keeping count, we must be Christ. Oh, Terry, I can never be Christ. I get it. But we've got to be His reflection. When people see us, they've got to see Jesus. Okay? People have to see Jesus. In Galatians 4:19, Paul taught, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth, until Christ is formed in you." Christ is formed in you. You see, it's got to be our purpose not only in the church, but in our lives also. We've got to strive to be like Jesus Christ. That means everywhere I go, people must see Jesus. Listen, Jesus was perfect. I'm not going to be. That still shouldn't be an excuse. It shouldn't be a crutch. Now, I like to preface everything by saying, look, I'm a human being and I'm going to let you down. And I'm going to make mistakes and I'm a sinner. And so are you. I get it. But we still shouldn't use that as a crutch to go out and do bad things. Does that make sense? We still got to understand, people still got to understand I'm human and I don't hold me on a pedestal. But people need to see Jesus living in us if we're concerned about church growth. People got to understand that, hey, that person goes to Zay City Church of Christ, wow, I want to be there because I want to be like them. Paul said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. The worst thing in the world that could happen to me, okay, again, I'm not talking about, you know, human torture or anything like that. I'm talking about from a heart standpoint. What would hurt my heart the most would be for somebody to, let's just say I just was a different person outside these walls, okay? I believe enough people know me that I try to be who I am everywhere I go, and that this is the real me, okay? But let's just say I wasn't me, and I went and I went into, I don't know, Walmart or somewhere, or, and I just acted a fool, all right? And I talked a certain way, and I acted a certain way, and I got mad and flew off the handle and jumped in people's faces and wanted to fight, wanted to do these things. And, you know, for somebody to say, I ain't going there because Terry Cagle's a preacher there, that would just crush my soul. Wouldn't it you? If somebody said, now I'm not talking about people that are just trying to persecute you, but you go there, I'm not going to go there, and they try to hold that against you. I've had people do that before. You know, people try to guilt trip us and say, hey, well, I'm not going to church there anymore because of this and that, blah, blah, blah. I'm not talking about petty stuff. I'm talking about serious accusations. Man, that would crush my soul. We've got to be Jesus Christ. And then finally, our purpose. We've got to be the environment God wants us to be. If we could keep the saved saved, think of how big our attendance would be. It's not about numbers, but just think about that. If everybody that was on roll were here, think of how many people would be here. Guys, it'd be almost standing room only. It really would. There are varying reasons why someone becomes unfaithful. I get that. Most of the time, it's because they quit learning and they forgot their purpose. But on occasion, I would guess that some would say, well, I wasn't treated this way or I wasn't treated that way. And I'm not saying that that's the case that people stayed away, but let's make sure it's never that way. We've got a great reputation. I mean, visitors, if you're here and somebody doesn't talk to you, you call me. Now, if you run out the door, don't call me, okay? But if you stick around and people talk to you and don't talk to you, you call me. And I'll come back up here next Sunday and I'll preach, or George will, and we'll preach on that. But the bottom line is this. This is a friendly congregation. It's a loving congregation. I heard one of my brothers who's here today say at a men's ministry one time. He said this is a friend. He'd been part of church a long time. And served in a leadership role. He said it's the friendliest church he's ever been a part of. And that meant a lot to me. Because this is my home. This is my family. This is where I grew up. These are my roots, right? I'm proud of this place. You talk about your college teams. You talk about being proud and put the, I am proud of this church. I am. I am proud of this church. I love this church. May we never be the environment that discourages. Let's make sure we have an atmosphere of love, understanding, patience, and forgiveness. Speaking of patience, and speaking of this church, and I know I've talked a long time today. I told you it was on the heart. I got to get it all in. I don't have any more time this year. But listen, when I was 16 years old, I stood before this church and preached my first sermon. I preached my second sermon around the same age. I came back here at 21 years old, hired out of college. And I've preached along the way. There are not many churches 20 plus years later. I have been here as an employee 20 years now, almost 21. There are not many places that would have been as patient with me as you have been, and I will always be in your debt for that. Some of you still tell me I'm getting better and better. I'm like, man, how bad was I? 20 years later. No, I'm kidding. Sort of. But the point is, we've got to be that patient with everyone. We've got to be that understanding with everyone. We've got to avoid criticizing one another and gossiping about our brothers and sisters. It's got to stop if it's started. We've got to keep hearts turned to love and positive good works. Get out of the judging business. That's not our responsibility. It's Jesus's. If we do that, and we understand that's part of our purpose, this place, Azalea City, will be the refuge that we talk about it being. It'll be the getaway from the world and from sin that we long for it to be. You see, the church, now I'm talking about Jesus Christ, His body. The church can get along. It can make it just fine without stunning buildings and stunning architecture. The church can make it just fine without nice paint and beautiful carpet. The church can make it just fine without comfortable pews and beautiful decor. But the church will struggle without the right kind of atmosphere. In closing today, when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, he gave them what I think is a pretty good compliment. Here's what he said in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and our Father. Your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. Nowhere in that letter or in those words did Paul mention their size. Nowhere did he mention the location of their building. Nowhere did he mention their contribution. Nowhere did he mention their brotherhood reputation. But it spoke volumes about what really mattered to the church at Thessalonica. So let's take from all this today that we want to grow to be an even greater church here at Azalea City. In order to do that, we've got to remember our purpose. And let's all, starting with us as individuals, do what it takes to stay determined to be the church that God wants us to be. Hey, I love you. And I'm proud of you. And I need you. And so do others. If you have a need today to become a part of the church, come and be immersed in baptism, contacting the life-saving blood of Jesus Christ. And it will wash away all your sins, and God will add you to the greatest institution in existence today. Or if you're here and you need to make some things right, you need to close out renewed, let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.